Glory to God. He's worthy this morning.
Yeah.
I'm preaching on that exact subject today. Look at Acts chapter number 2, if you would, with me this morning. Acts chapter 2 and Psalms chapter 100. You'll get both of those passages in Acts chapter 2 and Psalms chapter 100. Sometimes it does us good to remember back to what God did for us and where we were. And not to dwell on where we were, but be thankful for where He brought us. And thankful for all He's done for us. Acts chapter 2, and then also we're going to look at Psalms chapter number 100 here in just a minute. Acts chapter 2 first. And again, we appreciate everybody that's here this morning. And Sister Ruth is watching this morning, watching the service. So the baby's doing well. And so thank the Lord for that, praying that the baby continues to do well. She wants to be here badly. She texted me this morning and said, "Man, I miss our church family. I wish we could be there." And man, she just really wants to be here, but she's doing what's best for the baby right now. So just pray everything continues to go well. I said, "You'll be back before you know it." And so she said it's not the same watching from home. And then Brother Jeff and them, his family, had to go out of town yesterday and got back real late and had a kind of a rough day. So I'm sure they're watching this morning as well, but we miss them when they're not here. But we're glad that you're here today. Acts chapter number two and also Psalms chapter number 100. We began to preach a couple weeks ago on the marks of a great church and some things that made a great church. And we find the pattern for a great church here. In Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit comes down, Peter's preaching, and we begin to see this early church being formed. And there were some things that made them a great church. The church that grew, the church that God gave His commendation to, a church that He put His approval on and began to bless and add to the church daily. And so, look with me in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42, and we'll pick it up here. And Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And so we find here the early church, and there was several things that this early church did that made them a great church. Now, it wasn't the people themselves that made it a great church. It was a church that honored God and magnified Him in everything they did. And that's what made it a great church. If there's going to be a great church, it's going to be because of Jesus, not because of us. Amen? He makes it a great church in spite of us. But we want a church that magnifies and honors Christ and that lifts Him up. And we find the great church here in the early part of the church history. And we've already looked at a couple things. One thing that we saw about this early church is that they prayed. And if you're going to have a great church, it's got to be one that prays. It's got to be one that knows how to get a hold of God. There's churches today that are rich and they're increased with goods and they have need of nothing. And if you don't need anything, then you're not going to talk to God about it. Amen. So a church that's a great church is going to be one that prays. The people are going to pray. The families are going to pray. The church as a corporation, as a group is going to pray and try to get a hold of God. Whether or not you understand it, you need Him. Thanks to the credit card, most people don't believe they need God anymore. Because all you can do is swipe it. Between MasterCard and Google, we don't need anything. But you know what we need? We need Him. Amen. We absolutely do. And we find there, verse number 42, that this early church, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's plural. That's more than one time. Amen. And so we looked at a call to pray. The second thing we find about this church is, in marks of a great church, is preaching. Bible said there, verse number 41, then they that gladly received His word, how shall they hear unless there's a preacher, amen? Now, how shall they hear unless somebody's sent to preach the word of God? We looked at that last week. They gladly received His word. And there at the end of the verse, it said, and added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. That's a great church growth right there. But they heard the preaching of God's word. If you're going to have a great church, it's going to be one that preaches. So we looked at that last week. And this morning, Lord helping us, we're going to look at a call to praise. We find here another thing about this early church. In verse number 47, it said, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. One of the marks of a great church is one that praises God. Not one that praises man, not one that praises gimmicks, not one that praises programs, but one that praises and magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ and lifts Him up. Do you realize this morning that every time we open a hymn book and every time we crack it open, those are songs about Him. And oftentimes a lot of places, even in our church from time to time, there might have even been some this morning. We're singing, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. And there's some people that just had the book open, just reading the words, but not thinking about one bit of it. And one of the marks of a great church is one that praises Him. And as we open that book, every song that we sing is to praise Him. And I said this when we taught on music back in the Sunday school class, that music and special music, none of that is designed to please you or make you happy. God never intended for music to entertain us. Amen? We get in our car and we turn on music. That music was never designed to please your flesh. It was never designed to entertain you. Music, God had music to praise Him, to worship Him. Turn over to Psalms chapter 100. You probably already have it there in your hand. When I think about praising God in a church that praises God, there's one person that comes to mind that knew how to praise God. And that is David. The psalmist David. You think about David's life and you think about all the things that he's been through. If you're on the church Bible reading plan, we are right in the middle of reading about David. And even before he was king, and during his king, and after his, throughout this whole entire process, David, we're reading about all the trials and struggles, and through everything he went through, he knew how to praise God. I mean, if you read, we're going through it chronologically. And man, as I'm putting together the chronological order, and I'm putting it in there, and we're trying to read through it, we're in 1 Chronicles, and Samuel, and Psalms, and I said, who in the world put this together? Amen. It's all over the place. But it's neat reading about how Saul is trying to kill David, and then it pauses and says, all right, now go over to the book of Psalms and read this song that he wrote when Saul was trying to kill him. Amen. What if we had a narrative when we're in trouble? And we're reading a story about how Brother Nick is going through this trial and this trial, and here's what he said when he was going through that time. Turn over to this book and read it. Amen? Would it be a book of Psalms? A book of songs that are worshiping God? Or would it be a book of woe is me? Amen? That's not even in my notes. Alright. That early church, they were great because they praised God. I want to tell you this morning, God's been good. You might say, oh yeah, here we go, God's been... Hey, it might be an understatement to you, but it's not. God has been good. And He's been good to all of us. And there is so much to praise Him for. Even during the hard times, there's something to praise God for. I love that song, I'm Not Going to Hell. Amen? You say, why do you like that? Because if there's nothing else to thank Him for, I'm not going to hell. And I've got something to praise Him for. There's no reason that we cannot praise the Lord. If there's breath in your body, we're going to look at that here in a few minutes, but if there's any breath, you have something to praise Him with. I think even lost people should praise Him. Amen. They're still breathing. David was a man that knew how to praise the Lord. David found opportunity in every circumstance of his life to praise God. the bad, the good, the ugly, he found opportunity to praise the Lord. If you remember, as we read through our Bible in the Bible reading thing, whenever the ark was with the Philistines, David went and said, "Hey, we need to go get the ark of God and bring it back here where it belongs." Right. Hey, man, there's a lot of churches that need to go out and get the ark and bring it back in the church because the enemy done stole it from them. Right. And they went out there and they got the ark and they're bringing it back. And you remember the story? I think it was Uzzah. Amen. The Bible said that the oxen stumbled and he reached up and touched the ark and God struck him dead. Right. Amen. There's a lot of preaching in that too. When you try to help God out, God doesn't need your help. Right. Amen. And he fell over dead. Well, that scared David. Right. I mean, it terrified David. He goes, "I don't want that thing in my house." Right. So he put it in the house of Obed-Edom. Right. Amen. And the Bible said that all the days that that thing was in his house, Obed-Edom was blessed. I mean, just blessing after blessing. Hey, you get blessings when God's in your home. When God's in your house and He lives there. He's not just a guest. He lives there. You'll have continual blessings with Him there. So Obed-Edom has the ark there in his home. And God just keeps blessing him. And David hears, you would not believe how much God is blessing Obed-Edom. He goes, "Man, let's go get that ark and bring it to my house." Amen. Man, there's so much preaching in here, I gotta get going. Whatever you have in your home, does other people want it? Amen? Is there peace in your home? Is there joy in your home? Is there singing in your home? Amen? Is it cause for somebody to say, "I don't know what you got over there, but I want it"? And you say, "Hey, I got the ark, amen. I got God, the presence of God in my home." That's not in there either. But all of a sudden, David said, "Let's go get it." And the first time they went to get it, there, they get the ark and they bring it out, and the Bible says that they are praising God and shouting and glory to God, and then old Uzzah goes up there and touches it, falls over dead, and psh, done. They put it in Obed-Edom's house. He said, "Let's go get it again." They went down there and they got the ark and they're bringing it back, and the Bible says that David is praising God. He's singing. He's rejoicing. Man, he is doing all these things, and his wife got mad at him. Amen. Remember when he's out there dancing before the Lord and singing and praising and she got mad at him? God shut up her womb. Amen. Be careful. Somebody's praising God. Let them praise God. Amen. And then all of a sudden, they bring him back. And David, he forms an orchestra and a choir. The ark is back where it belongs. The ark is back with the King of Israel. And he begins to form an orchestra. And the Bible said that there was a song director, amen, the minister of music. That's what Brother Bobby calls Brother Bo and the mom. He's the mom of the church, minister of music. Amen. But the Bible calls him the master of songs. I guess that's a biblical title for a song leader. That's what the Bible says, master of songs. You're not the master level yet, brother, but you're doing a good job. The master of songs. It was Chenaniah, the master of the song. Amen. He was the leader of this choir, and they had all these musicians. You say, why did they do all this? David said, "We're going to bring the ark in here," and the ark represented the presence of God. A matter of fact, you're reading right now, I read yesterday, where David's living in a house of cedars, and he tells Nathan, the prophet, he goes, "I live in a house of cedars and God is living in a tent." That ark of God represented the presence of God. And he said, I don't think it's right, and I'm going to build him a house. And you guys know the story. He said, "No, you can't build it. Your son's going to build it." I'm not preaching on that this morning, but David got all this choir together and all this orchestra together for one purpose: to continually praise God as long as his presence was there. And you know what, church? If we're going to have a great church, it's going to be one that praises God. Amen. It's going to be one that lifts Him up. And so when David, you say, why are you going into all this about David? Because David understood what it meant to praise God. Yeah. David understood what it meant to praise Him in good times and in bad times. He understood exactly. And when David wrote the book of Psalms, chapter number 100, we're going to read these verses in a second. It's no wonder that this psalm of praise, that he wrote it with conviction and passion. He believed what he was writing. He believed what he's saying. When he's saying God is good, when he's saying praise Him, he knew what he was talking about. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just reading pages on a book. It was magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And David knew that. Look with me there in Psalms chapter 100. I'm going to try to get through this quickly. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Before I continue on, look at the inscription above this very verse. What does it say? A psalm of praise. We're talking this morning about a church that pleases God. We're talking about a call to praise. One of the things that makes a great church is a church that praises Him. We saw that in Acts 2. It said that they praising God. Amen. And this is a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Every time I read that, I picture Brother Brandon Lake's boy saying it. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of our pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Why, preacher? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Notice here that David, when he's writing this psalm of praise, this whole chapter, this whole five verses here, is a psalm, a song of praise, and a definition of why we do it, where we do it. We're going to look at all that. But notice who it's aimed at. It's all aimed solely at the Lord. And not just a Lord. It's named at the Lord. And when I say that, I'm talking about capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So what does that mean, preacher? Why is it all capitalized? Capital L-O-R-D, all of those letters capitalized in the Bible is in reference to Jehovah God. Amen. Every time when they transcribed that word, the Jewish pronunciation is Jehovah. And whenever they put that in there, it was translated over capital L-O-R-D, and it's talking about Jehovah God. And those writers, whenever they did that, I was talking to Brother Stephen about this last night, that they took great care every time they wrote that word. Because we're talking about the title, we're talking about the Hebrew name for God. Every time they went to go write that word, capital L-O-R-D or Jehovah, throughout the Bible, every time they did that, they had to wipe their pen and get a new one. They had to wash their entire bodies before writing the most holy name of God in the Word of God. Say, so how many times was that? 6,519 times in the Old Testament when they wrote that. You say, what does that mean? That they took care when it came to Him. And we ought to take care also. We ought to take care. So the capital L-O-R-D in the Bible, just a quick Bible study for you, that's talking about Jehovah God. If it's a capital L and then little O-R-D, that's a reference to a title for God, like Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And if it's a small L and the rest of it small, that's a title for a person referred to as Lord. Like Sarah called Abraham Lord. Amen, ladies? Yep. Amen. You say, what does this have to do with all this? Every single Lord in this chapter is all capitalized. Our praise belongs to Him alone. Our praise belongs to... It doesn't belong to any other person. And there's nothing wrong with patting a kid on the back and telling them good job, but you better be careful praising them. You better be careful praising a person. Amen. All the praise that David had belonged to the Lord. It belonged to God, and capital L-O-R-D there. David gave the Lord all of his praise. Let me give you this real simple outline quickly, and it's about like last week's. Number one, how are we to praise God? Look there with me in verse number one. Are y'all still with me? The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. How are we to praise God? First of all, with just a joyful noise. Amen. Just a joyful noise. We do that by singing. Hey, when we stood in here a moment ago and opened the book and singing praise Him, and singing the congregational songs, you're doing that to praise God. Amen. To lift Him up. This psalm is a song that David sung. And it's with, and you know, there's some folks, that's all it is a joyful noise. Amen. It's just a joyful noise. Sometimes they're the only ones that think it's joyful. It does not sound the same in the shower that it does in church. And we got great acoustics in here. And sometimes that's not a good thing, depending on who's singing out with all of their heart. But God respects that if it's done with the right heart. Man, when everybody in here, I know it's a small church, but if everybody sings out, man, I tell you, it's a beautiful noise to the Lord. A joyful noise. We got folks in this church that can sing. God has blessed you to be able to sing, and you need to do it. Amen. You say, well, I don't want to get up. Hey, you're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it to praise Him. And that's how we are going to praise Him. Like David said here with a joyful noise in Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You're going to do it with a joyful noise. Not only that, you praise the Lord with shouting. Amen. Say it, amen. Lifting up your voice, lifting up your hand, and praising Him. Amen. In Psalms 109:30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise Him among the multitudes. We don't clap after people get done singing here. Amen. You say, why? Because I don't mind if anybody wants to clap during a song if you're praising the Lord. But we're not here to be entertained. And you'll go to some churches and they'll get up and sing and they do a decent job and then afterwards everybody is clapping. Amen. Well, were you just entertained? Amen. We need to go up on our ticket prices. You feel like you're being entertained. We're not here to entertain anybody. We're here to praise the God, the Creator of the heaven and earth. Amen. We've had people come in before and Now, I understand if the kids get up and they did a good job and you want to give them a hand to encourage them. Amen. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm talking about. When you got sister, I'm in love with myself up here singing with 50 rings on her hand. And she's, you know, doing her voice and all these things. And she's going through all these motions. And at the end of the day, she's saying, hey, take a look at me. That's not right. Amen. Wants to make sure everybody knows she's singing that day.
Yep.
We don't use sound effects here either at the church. Amen. Some people want to use them. That's great. But man, I've been in services where it's a disaster. Yep. No, not number two. Number four. It's number four. Starting over again. This all right? Amen. I mean, what are we doing? We're here to lift Him up. We're here to magnify and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Singing and shouting. You know what else we do? What I'm doing this morning, preaching. We use that to lift Him up, to praise Him. The Bible said again, Psalms 145:21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Church, if we're going to have a church that pleases God, we got to praise Him. I don't want to be like those that Jesus dealt with there in the Gospels where it said, if you're not going to cry out, the rocks will. Let a rock out shout me, amen. God didn't die for that rock. He died for me. If we're going to have a church that pleases Him, we need to praise Him. We need to feel free to praise and worship and magnify and lift Him up and exalt Him. We do it with our supplication. The Bible said, my lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. Not only do we do it with a joyful noise, but look at verse number two. Serve the Lord with gladness. You ought to praise Him with a glad heart. Are you thankful this morning for what He's done for you?
Amen.
Well, you ought to praise Him with a thankful heart.
Amen.
A grateful heart.
Amen.
Amen. In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
Even when it's not going well. Amen. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. The Bible says in Psalms 138:1, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises unto Thee. We ought to praise Him with a glad heart. Why are we to praise the Lord? Look at verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God.
Amen.
Why should we praise Him? Because He's God.
Amen.
I mean, we ought to praise Him for who He is.
Right.
Just because He's God, just because He created the heaven and earth, because He's been good to us, because He saved us, and all those things are good reasons, but we ought to praise Him just for who He is. We ought to lift Him up and magnify Him just for who He is. The Bible said that He inhabits the praise of His people. If we want God to show up during our camp meeting, if we want God to show up during our morning service, when we open that songbook and sing the hymn about Him, we ought to do it with a right heart and a glad heart and a joyful heart and a thankful heart because of who He is. And He just might show up and He just might save somebody and He just might encourage somebody. Why should we do it? Just because of who He is. There's no other reason to. Just do it for who He is. The heathen ought to even praise Him for who He is. Do they not realize that He holds their very breath in His hand? He holds yours there as well. Not only should we praise Him because of who He is, but because He knows us. Look there with me in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. Why should we praise the Lord this morning? He said, this is a very simple outline, but we need to be reminded of it. If we want a church that God's pleased with, we need to praise Him.
Amen.
So why should I praise Him? Because He knows you.
Yeah.
And He still desires fellowship with you.
Yeah.
That ought to be a good reason to praise Him right there.
Amen.
I've given this illustration before about every time I open a package and it comes, you got to assemble it. Amen? It comes in 1,000 pieces. And you get it and you open it up and there's pieces laying everywhere and you're trying to put it together. And me, I always start without the instructions. Amen? I hand the instructions to Sarah and she begins to read them. And while she's reading, I'm assembling. And the holes don't match up with the other hole that the screw's supposed to go in. The screws are missing. Going through there and she has to help. We have to take it back apart and put it back. I mean, it's happened time and time again. You think I learned my lesson. But then, sometimes, you'll get to a point in the instruction process where something's missing.
Yeah.
It's actually missing from there. Or there's a defect in a problem.
Yep.
And so you call the manufacturer, amen, that says it's in Minnesota. And you get Bob over in India. I know his name is not Bob. He knows his name's not Bob. And he knows I know his name's not Bob. But he's Bob. Amen. And he tells me he's in Minnesota. And then I try to talk to him and I say, can I please have somebody that speaks English? Amen. And finally you might get somebody and man, just go through all this process of trying to get a hold of the manufacturer. You're trying to get a hold of the people that actually made the thing. Brother Steve was telling me last night about a castle he went to. And I don't know how old was that castle? Hundreds of years old, and talked about the work that was done to build even the bed frames and man, the quality of work. Now everything is plastic and it's got to be replaced in 6 months. The quality is awful. But you try to, you say, what do you get? You go through all this process just trying to get a hold of the manufacturer. You talk to a robot first. And then when you get somebody on the line, they're in India and you don't understand what they're saying. Bob did the best he could. He's just trying to draw a paycheck. Don't get mad at Bob. And then you finally get a manager who says, well, try to get you a part shipped out. And go through this whole process. And I was missing some screws to a thing I ordered the other day on Amazon. It took me 2 weeks to get the screws in. And then they showed up and there's no instructions. I said it, didn't I? Then I went and got my wife and she showed me how to put the screw in. So what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? You know, I don't have to call a 1-800 number when there's a defect with me. When there's a problem in my heart, maybe my heart's broke because we just lost a baby. Maybe my heart's broke because of somebody else. I could go straight to the manufacturer. And I'm talking to the one that built it. I'm talking to the one whose hands actually formed me in the womb. I don't have to go through the person that sold anything or I have to go through this. I get to talk to the one that made me. You say, why should we praise Him? Because He knows us. He knows our downfalls. He knows our defects. He knows everything going on with us. And I can go straight to Him this morning without going through anybody else. I don't have to go through a priest. I can go straight to Him. And He knows me. The Bible says He knows every hair on our head and every hair that fell out of our head. He knows everything about every one of us. You say, why should we praise Him? The Bible said, because He made you.
Amen.
He knows you. He knows what pleases us. He knows what makes us happy. He knows all the hurt and the pain. And I can go straight to the Creator. When I called the other day to find the screws to that bench, I did not get to talk to the guy on the assembly line that made it. I never got to Him. I never got to the inventor of that product. I never got to talk to any of those people. But when there's something wrong with me, I go straight to the one that made me. You ought to be thankful for that this morning. You ought to be able to praise Him. Because of who He is, because He knows us. And verse number 3 not only says, know ye that the Lord He is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Thank God for that. Amen. We'd mess it up in a hurry. Hey, you know UAB is testing right now. They're testing trying to make life in a tube. Right now. They're trying to create life in a tube. You know what? They can't do anything without something God already made though. They can't make it out of nothing. But they're trying to do that. This verse says you ought to praise God because He made us, not we ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. But look at this, look at the last part of this verse. Why should we praise Him? Because we're His people.
Right.
I mean, He made us, He knows us, and we are His people. We belong to Him.
Amen.
Are you thankful for that this morning? Thankful that we belong to Him. The Bible said in Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name. For Thou hast done wonderful things. The counsels of old are faithfulness and true. Psalms 148:13. There's verse after verse we could go over. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. We belong to Him. We ought to praise Him for that. You understand this morning, He deserves praise. There's days we come into church and maybe things aren't as lively as we think they ought to be or whatever. You should praise Him anyway.
Yes, sir.
Just praise Him anyway. If God speaks to your heart and encourages you, man, we're singing the songs, you ought to just give Him the glory.
Yes.
Praise Him, praise Him. Yes. He's worthy of all of our praise.
Amen.
We are His. Not only should we praise God because of who He is, we ought to praise Him because of what He is. Because of what He is. Look at verse number 5. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
Why should we praise Him, Brother Andrew? Verse 5, for the Lord is good.
Amen.
I mean, for the Lord is good. There's no other reason for you to praise Him. He's been good to you. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 135:3, praise the Lord, for He is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. God has been good.
Amen.
A few weeks ago when we went through some of the things we went through, somebody said, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? And you know what? My answer is, God is faithful.
Amen.
And the peace that passes all understanding is a real thing.
Amen.
God's good.
Amen.
You ought to praise Him. You ought to give Him glory and honor. Your life, this church, your family ought to bring Him praise.
Amen.
We want a church that's going to please Him. It's going to be one that praises God.
Amen.
There's enough dead churches. We need one that praises and magnifies Him, and it's not a show. It's not going through the motions. It needs to be the real thing. God knows your heart. Your home ought to please God. It ought to praise Him. Not only because He's good, but there in that same verse, for the Lord He is good. How about this one? His mercy is everlasting. His mercies are new every day. We do boneheaded things sometimes. And God's mercy is over and over and over again poured out towards us.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen. So why should we praise Him? He's merciful. Every now and again our kids will come to us and they deserve to get disciplined or corrected for something they did wrong. And every now and again they'll come in and I could tell that their heart broke over what happened. And I'll come in there and I'll talk to them and I'll send them out and say, I'm going to give you mercy.
Amen.
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 Don't I do that, kids? Yes, sir. Elijah said, yeah, definitely me. I give all the time. They get mercy and they come back in there. They'll be crying and say, Daddy, thank you. And you know what? That's my opportunity to tell them, hey, God gives me mercy sometimes.
Amen.
Amen. God gives me mercy. I'm thankful for it. You ought to praise Him for it.
Amen.
God's been so good to us. This whole chapter is a psalm of praise. So where should we praise Him? Everywhere. Absolutely everywhere, every chance we get, we ought to praise Him. The Bible said in Psalms 34:1, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen.
When you're at the grocery store, when somebody asks you how you're doing, don't tell them how you're doing. They don't care anyway.
Right.
Just say, the Lord is good.
Amen.
I mean, you might have had a bad day. Amen. You might have been in the parking lot and somebody opened a door and dinged your car. Had a buggy come across and slam into it. Maybe somebody flipped you off walking in there. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Amen?
Right.
Some people just don't care.
Right.
And you might be having a horrible day. But you're going through the checkout and they say, how are you doing today? Say, the Lord is good.
Amen.
How are you doing? Amen?
Amen?
God's good. You ought to praise Him everywhere.
Amen.
Especially in church.
Yeah.
And if you can't praise Him in an atmosphere like this, you're not going to praise Him anywhere.
Right.
Amen? I mean, there's other people, amen, there's other people shouting. I mean, you can get in on it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I've been in service before and everybody's got different kind of voices, but there was a guy in a meeting we used to go to and he'd say, amen, amen. Amen. That's the sound he made, but praise God, he was amen. You laugh, but it's more than what you do.
Yeah.
Amen. Give Him the praise.
Yeah.
Not everybody's got a booming voice. But use whatever you have to praise Him.
Amen.
Do it at church. Do it at home. Do it in the marketplace. Do it in your car. I've been going down the road before just sobbing, crying, praising the Lord. Maybe a song came on. Maybe God, hey, this morning I was walking through church. It was completely empty and I'm looking around and getting stuff set up and just started crying, thinking about how good God has been.
Amen.
Just praise Him. Give Him some glory.
Amen.
Take your mind off of all the junk going on in this world and give God some praise. Who is to praise Him? Look at the very last verse. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth. You want to know who ought to praise Him? All generations. Everybody ought to praise Him. Last place, go to Psalms 150 and I'll be done. Psalms chapter 150. Sarah, would you come to the piano? I realize what time it is. We don't have Sunday night service here, so we take our time to worship God in the morning service. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Psalms chapter 150. Psalms 150. This psalm is the very last one in the book of Psalms. It closes out the book. And you know, a book that is full of songs about God. I mean, there's all kind of different psalms. Psalms chapter 119 is all about the Bible you're holding in your lap. Amen? The whole chapter is about the Word of God. Psalms chapter 12, about the book you're holding in your lap. It even tells us that it was going to be preserved for all generations, purified in a fire 7 times. The King James Bible you're holding in your lap from 1611 was revised 7 times. That was in the Bible. The Lord told us that would happen in the book of Psalms. Is that all right?
Amen.
There's Psalms about the Bible. There's Psalms about God helping in trials. There's Psalms about God helping during earthquakes. About God helping during Psalms. Or during fights and struggles and wars. And I think this is one of the Lord. It's absolutely fitting because God did it. But what a fitting way to finish this whole thing. And it's a great picture of what we ought to have in our church. Every single verse. Look at it. Psalms 150. You're there, say amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Period. I mean, that's how it starts off.
Amen.
You say, I need a reason to praise Him. No, just praise Him.
Yeah.
I mean, through the whole book of Psalms, he went over all the reasons. And this one, the very first sentence with a period, just says, praise ye the Lord, period. Just praise Him. Praise God in His sanctuary. We're in His house this morning where we meet, amen. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And again, praise ye the Lord. What a way to finish off this book of songs, praising Him.
Amen.
Church, if we're going to have a great church, and again, it's not great because of me or you.
Right.
But it's going to be one that praises Him.
Amen.
God bless that early church because they recognized Him.
Amen.
And they praised Him continually.
Amen.
We're not all the same emotionally.
Right.
Thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Yeah.
Men are men and women are women. Even if they,
amen.
We're not all the same.
Amen.
Amen. Therefore, we're not all going to praise the Lord in the same manner.
That's right.
Amen. Went to a funeral not too long ago, and Brother Steve and his wife said, I wonder if Brother Andrew's supposed to be coming. Where's he at? And I'm way in the back, and I said, amen. And he goes, he's here. Not everybody has that. I mean, the lady in front of me about had a heart attack. I was wondering if there was room in that casket by the time I got done shouting. They shouting at a funeral? Yeah, he was preaching about Jesus. There's reason to shout. We're not all the same. We're not all going to praise in the same manner. Some praise with tears. Some praise with laughter. Some praise with a shout. Some praise with just amazement. Maybe hands lifted to God. But the important thing is that we all get busy praising Him. He's worthy. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, when Sarah's going to play. If God spoke to your heart this morning, hey, maybe right before camp meeting, we're starting camp meeting this week. Maybe you need to come down this morning and just simply thank Him. Has God been good to you? Has God done anything in your home, in your life lately that you can just praise Him for? Anything, hey, listen, let everything that hath breath praise Him. There's many that are coming this morning. What about you? There's some coming with their families. Why don't you come give Him praise this morning? Why don't you come thank Him? We're about to go into camp meeting, and there'll be preaching, and there'll be tears, and there'll be shouting and things. And I tell you what, we need to lift Him up and magnify Him. He's worthy to be praised. Why don't you praise Him this morning?